Morning.
Morning.
We, as an introduction to the upcoming Gemara, we were learning a bit of Sefer Daniel. Yesterday we read the first two chapters. Just to review, the second chapter, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babel, who destroyed the first base of Hamikdash, he had a dream. And he either forgot the dream or pretended to forget the dream, depending on the commentaries. And he asked all the wise men, and nobody could tell him the interpretation of the dream that he couldn't or wouldn't tell them. So they were all going to be killed. And then Daniel heard about it and davened to Hashem, and the dream and the interpretation were revealed to him in a dream. And he told it to Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar's dream was that he saw an image. It was a head of gold, and the front was silver, the back was copper or bronze, the hind legs were iron, and the feet were a combination of iron and clay. And then the whole thing came and was a big stone came from nowhere and hit the feet and crushed them, and then the whole thing collapsed and turned to dust and blew to the four corners of the world, and the stone itself turned to a big mountain. That was the Nebuchadnezzar's dream. And incidentally, we said that this dream took place in the second year after the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, which would be the beginning of the 70 years of exile that between the first Beis Hamikdash and the second Beis Hamikdash. So Daniel explained that the dream meant Nebuchadnezzar was the head of gold, and then his kingdom would be replaced by a lesser kingdom, which was represented by silver, and that would be replaced by, and that was the Persian Empire, which Nebuchadnezzar's empire lasted three generations. Nebuchadnezzar, his son Evil-Merodach, and his son Belshazzar. And then they were conquered by Persia, which was still during the 70 years of exile. And then that's when Miguel Sester took place, during the Persian period. And then the second Beis Hamikdash was rebuilt, and 40 years into the second Beis Hamikdash, the Greeks conquered Eretz Yisrael. That's represented by the copper, the third kingdom. And then the Greeks were conquered by the Roman Empire, which is the iron. They were lesser but stronger, like iron is less valuable but stronger. And the Rashi learned that the two different materials represent that the fourth empire will be split. So Sadia Gaon and Ibn Ezra learn that there's an allusion here as well to the Arab Empire. So and then the stone represents Mashiach that will destroy it all. So that was the second parak. At the end of the second parak, it says that the king bowed down to Daniel and wanted to bring korbanos to him. We'll mention that again later. The Barbanel asks, why was Nebuchadnezzar shown this dream? Okay. So Nebuah, for us, that they're going to be four exiles, or five, and that Mashiach will come, and that will be the end of them, and Mashiach will, the Hashem's rule will continue forever. Why was this shown to Nebuchadnezzar? So the Barbanel, incidentally, the Barbanel wrote a great deal about things having to do with Mashiach. Barbanel lived in the period of the expulsion of Jews from Spain, and understandably was given the circumstances in which he lived, was very interested in Mashiach and salvation, and you know, the Christians were claiming Mashiach has come. They are the Jews, and so on and so on and so on. And so Abarbanel was very interested in this subject of Mashiach and wrote three svarim about it. So one of them is called Mayanei HaYeshua. And this is in the section is, the Sefer is divided into springs, a Mayan. And each Mayan is divided into palm trees, Tamar. And there's a reason for that, which perhaps we'll talk about in connection with the Gemara. But the so this is in Mayan Revi'i Tamar Rishon. He says that the reason that this was shown to Nebuchadnezzar was A, to publicize to all the Goyim that there will be history of these different kingdoms, and then Hashem will rule. Hashem, for whatever reason, he doesn't say, wanted the whole world to know that, and figured that if a king like Nebuchadnezzar has this dream, then everybody will find out about it. And also,
Nebuchadnezzar is going to actually turn and ask other people what it means, because Nebuchadnezzar himself doesn't know what it means.
And Nebuchadnezzar is going to act on the dream, as we'll see in the next chapter. Okay. In addition, Hashem wanted Nebuchadnezzar to know, you think you're so high and mighty because you destroyed the Beis HaMikdash. You're not running the show. There's a plan here. And yeah, you destroyed the Beis HaMikdash because I gave you that position. And guess what? I'm going to take it away. And I'm going to give it to someone else. And you're going to, your kingdom is going to come to an end. So that is the Abarbanel's explanation. So starting now, Perek Gimel. Nebuchadnezzar Malka Avad Slaim Didahav Rumei Amin Shitin Petaye Amin Shit Akime Bevikat Dura Bemedinat Bavel. Nebuchadnezzar made an image of gold. It was 60 amos tall, 6 amos wide, and he placed it in the valley of Dura in Medinas Bavel. First, the valley of Dura should sound familiar. That's one of the opinions of where Yechezkel did Tchias HaMesim, as we learned in the previous Gemaras. And as we will see in Gemara coming up, the timing of when Yechezkel did Tchias HaMesim is at the end of this chapter of Daniel. It's not mentioned in Daniel, but they coincide in terms of time. So Nebuchadnezzar made this golden idol. Why did Nebuchadnezzar make this golden idol? So the Barbanel says, this in the same Sefer, Mayanei Yeshua, but this is in Mayan Hashishi Tamar Shlishi. Nebuchadnezzar wanted to say to God, that dream in which I'm the head of gold and there are other kingdoms that make up this beast, animal, whatever it is, different materials, that's what you think. But I'm making a statue that's all of gold, representing that my kingdom will exist forever. And as we'll see in a second, he ordered all of the kingdoms, all of the nations to come bow down to it, showing that, no, I'm not going to be replaced by other nations. Rather, they are all going to be subservient to me forever. This image is all of gold. That is how the Abarbanel learns. Abarbanel says that there are statements in Chazal that suggest that this image was an Avodah Zarah. Abarbanel says, I don't agree. This is getting insight here into how the Barbanel's commentary goes in general. Barbanel says, the Chazal hivinu shayat selam zichron le'elohav. The Chazal understood that this image was a memory of his God. In other words, it was an idol. Shayayin yana vodazara. Vanil fresha katuvati. There's such a medrash, I came to explain the psukim. That's Barbanel's approach. He very often explains psukim, disregarding midrashim. That medrash is medrash, and pshat is pshat, and I'm going to tell you the pshat of the pasuk, and Chazal can say the medrash. That's fine, but that's nothing to do with what I'm doing. I'm telling you the pshat, and that is consistently Barbanel's approach to explaining psukim. He does say that he's not alone in saying this was not an idol. Because the Gemara asks, why did Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah not bow down? And the Gemara, well, we didn't get there yet, but that's in this chapter, that Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah refused to bow down. And the Gemara explains the logic that they used. What do you mean? If it was Avodah Zarah, who needs logic? You don't bow down to Avodah Zarah. You see that Tosfos, he's quoting a Tosfos, and he says, you see that it was not Avodah Zarah. It's Tosfos Imsachim Dafnon Gimel Amdeis. So he says, I'm not alone in saying it was not Avodah Zarah. He acknowledges that there are Chazals that say it was an Avodah Zarah, but he's learning that Nebuchadnezzar made this statue to, so to speak, either to counteract the dream, because Chazal say, all dreams go after the interpretation. In fact, Mefarshim explain, there are different categories of dreams. There are dreams which are like nevuos, and they're going to happen. There are dreams which are ambiguous, and if you give them a good interpretation, a good thing will happen. You give them a bad interpretation, a bad thing will happen. And there are dreams that are total nonsense and don't mean anything. So there are different kinds of dreams. So Nebuchadnezzar thought that he could change the dream by how he interpreted it and how he acted on it. Or he was simply, he understood that the dream meant what Daniel said it meant, but he wanted to be, he thought he could be, so to speak, in your face to God. I'm gonna show you that it's gonna be the way I say, not the way you say.
Later on, isn't it Peshad that it was about the Zara, that's why they didn't.
No. Let's read the psukim and see. The pshat doesn't say that anywhere. I take that back. I understand why you're asking that. The Barbanel deals with that and shows that it's not the pshat. But let's read. Let's read the psukim. Let's read the psukim. Let's read the psukim. Okay. Pasuk bet. Unevuchanetzar malka. Shalach lemichnas la'achash dar pinaya signaya upachavata adar gazaria gidavraya detavraya tiftaye v'chol shotone medinata. Those are different kinds of officers of the kingdom. Okay, and you'll notice, and this is important, there are 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 different categories mentioned. Okay. We'll come back to that. Achashtar Panaya, Signaya, Pachavata, Adar Gazaria, Gedavraya, Detavraya, Tiftate, and all the whole Shulton and Medinata. So he called them together, Lemete Lechanukat Salma, to come to the dedication of this statue. Tiha came Nebuchadnezzar Malka, that Nebuchadnezzar the king raised. Beidayin, Mitkansi, Nachashtar Panaya, Signaya, Pachavata, Upachavata, Adar Gazaria, Gedavraya, Gitavraya, Tiftaye, Vchol Shotone, Medinta, Lechanukat Salma. So when they all got together for the dedication of this Tselem's image, Tiha came Nebuchadnezzar Malka. Becoming the Kavel Tzalma, Diakim Nebuchadnezzar, and they're standing in front of the image that Nebuchadnezzar made. Charoza Kari Bechaya Lachon, Amrina Mamaya Umaya Lishnaya, and a proclamation was read in loud voice. I'm telling you, all nations and peoples and languages. Bidana Ditishmaun Kal Karna Mashrokita. Katros Sabcha Psanterin Sumponaya Hosene Zamara, when you hear all these different musical instruments playing, you'll notice, we have no idea what these are. Santarin, santer is the modern Hebrew word for piano. Symphonia sounds a lot like symphony, but we don't know exactly what these are. Okay, when you hear these musical instruments, Tiplun v'tiskedun l'tselem d'hava, you should fall down and bow to the golden image, Diakem Nebuchadnezzar Malka, that Nebuchadnezzar established. Barmanel says that this pasuk supports my interpretation in a couple of ways. First of all, the fact that there was music is like the coronation of a king, and that's what Nebuchadnezzar was doing. He was recoronating himself by having people bow down to this image. And the fact that it's consistently referred to in a psukim, not as a tselem, but as the tselem of gold, shows that the significance of it was the gold, not the, it's tselem dahava, the image of gold. And you'll see in the psukim, it's consistently referred to that way. Rabbanel says that you see the point was the gold, because the gold represents Nebuchadnezzar, and it was not an idol.
Uman, usually idol?
But this doesn't say tselem. This says tselem dahava, the image of gold. That's exactly that Rabbanel's point. If it said a tselem, first of all, we all have a tselem elokim. So clearly the word tselem doesn't have to mean idol. And it doesn't say tselem. It says tselem dahava, the image of gold. And you find many times in the Gemara. Gemara says that you can't use such and such for maror, because it's not called maror, it's called maror with an adjective, right? Or things like that. Many Gemaras where Gemara distinguishes between a noun by itself and a noun with an adjective has different meaning. Lachar Me'ev Esrim, you'll run over to the Barbanel, and you'll ask Steve's permission to interrupt the learning, and you'll ask him your question. Okay. I'll just say he knew Tanakh better than we do.
Okay.
Of course there are people who disagree. We wouldn't be Jewish otherwise. Umandi lo ipel v'iskud ba shata yitrime lego atu nur yekidita. And anyone who does not fall down and bow, and the Barbanel acknowledges there are people who disagree. He says so himself. Umandi lo yipel v'iskud ba shata yitrime lego atu nur yekidita. And anyone who doesn't fall down and bow at that time will be thrown into huge fire. Kol kavel dina be zimna kdi shamin kolamaya kalkarna mashrokita katro sabcha psantrin cholzene dine zimara naflin kolamaya umayu lishaya sagdin letzelem dahava tihekin uchanesamaka. So and so it was when they heard all these musical instruments, they all the different nations and peoples and languages, they all bowed down to this golden image that Nebuchadnezzar had set up. Kol kavel dina bezimna kirivu guvrin kastayin v'achalu kartzehun diudai. At that time, some Babylonian people came and informed on the Jewish people. Anova armin l'muchanetzer malka. They said to Nebuchadnezzar, the king, malka l'almin chiei. King should live forever. Ant malka sam te'em. You gave an order, the chol enash, the yishma, kalkarna, mashrokita, katro, sabcha, psantrin, v'simponaya, v'chol zanei zimra, yipel, v'yiskud, l'tselem d'hava. You said that when these musical instruments play, everyone has to bow down to the image of gold. Umandi lo yapel, v'yiskud, yitrme, lego atu, nura, yakitatan. Whoever doesn't will be thrown into the huge fire. Itai guvrin yudain. There are Jewish men, Dimanit Yaton Alavidat Medina Pavel, who you appointed over Bavel, Shadrach Meshach V'Abednego, those are their names, which is the Babylonian names of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So you appointed them. These people were jealous of the position, the high positions of these Jewish officers, and they saw their chance. They said, you appointed them to positions, and Elech, lo samu alayich malka te'em lo elkach lo palchin They don't worship your God, and they did not bow down to your golden image. So the Barbanel says, you might interpret this pasuk contrary to my interpretation. It says they do not worship your God, and they did not bow down to your image. He says it could be, or you might interpret it consistent with my interpretation. Two things. Not only they don't bow down to your God, which maybe they'll say, okay, I have a different God, so I don't bow down to your God. But you, king, gave them high positions. You are clearly their king, and they did not bow down to your image. I understand. So I took...
It seems contradictory. Before he's saying, doing the Peshad, but here, this is the Peshad, then it's an idol, they're not worshiping it, and it's like saying, I'm explaining why it's not, why the Peshad is wrong.
No, he's telling you a different Peshad. The Pasuk says, why does Pasuk say two things? They don't worship your God, and they didn't bow down to your idol. If the idol was the God, then it would be redundant. Ve'dayin Nebuchadnezzar b'rgaz v'chama amar l'haytaya l'shadrach meshach v'abednego ve'dayin guvraya ilech hitayu kadamaka. So Nebuchadnezzar, in anger and fury, ordered to bring Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah, and they were brought before him. Ani Nebuchadnezzar amar l'hon hatzta shadrach meshach v'abednego l'laki lo'itechon palchin. You don't. You don't worship my God. And to the golden image that I made, you did not bow down. So he says that you are destined, when this music plays again, okay, all these different instruments, you are going to bow down to this image that I made. And if you don't bow down at that time, you'll be thrown into the huge fire. And who is the God who could save you from me?
It seems very, very important. Each time we list the eight officers,
We're going to see in the Gemara a reason why they're listed. We'll see. Okay.
Once you have to play this and this and this and this, okay, and next time you say, and when the instruments play, you do this.
Okay. If you're paying close attention, you'll notice that the list is not the of instruments is different, changes each time, and. Someday, after we finish Ein Yaakov, we want to learn Sefer Daniel, we could go into why the list changes each time, or maybe we'll have Gemaras that will darshan that. Okay. So it's wordy, but there are subtle changes each time it's happening. Anu Shadrach Meshach v'Abednego. So Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah answered. Amrin and Lamalke said to the king, Nebuchadnezzar. So they said to the king, Nebuchadnezzar. They dressed him as Nebuchadnezzar. The Sadugon says that I can't find it, and I don't remember. There are two commentaries. One says that they were saying to him, you want to be the king? You be the king. You want to act like a lowly person? You'll be Nebuchadnezzar. Another commentary says Nebuchadnezzar is Babylonian for king, like Paro is Egyptian for king, which is difficult to understand because we find Paro used throughout Tanakh in every generation. We don't find another king named Nebuchadnezzar. So I didn't fully understand that interpretation, but those are two interpretations. Okay, so they said to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, Lo chashchin anachna al dinan pitgam Lahatavutach. Says, we're not worried. We're not scared. Heini taya lahana dianachna palchin yachel shezavutana. The king who we worship, he can save us. Minatu nura, from your fire, from that fire. Yakidata minidach malki sheziv. And he can save us from you, the king. The say we're not afraid. The Rav Sadia Gaon points out, they didn't say God will save us. They don't know that God will save them. They said God could save us if he wants. We're not afraid, because if we deserve to be saved, God will save us. If we don't deserve to be saved, we don't deserve to be saved. The so Rav Sadia Gaon points out that this is consistently, if Avram said, I have trust in Hashem that Yitzchak won't be killed at the Akedah, then it would not have been a trial. Okay. Hashem said, you're going to have descendants that inherit the land. So either he would have different descendants, he would have different children, or a miracle would happen, Yitzchak would come back to life. But Avram had no assurance that he wasn't going to go there and Shecht Yitzchak, okay, because it wouldn't be a Nisayon otherwise. The Sadi Gaon says that we all have trials and tribulations, and we have bitachon that Hashem will save us, but Hashem doesn't, or that these are all yisurin. Actually, what he says, he doesn't say we have bitachon Hashem will save us. He says that we believe that the troubles that we have are you know, to cleanse us in this world, so that we could. Will have greater olam haba. Hashem doesn't come and tell us that. When a person has a terrible illness or poverty or whatever it is, Hashem doesn't come and say, oh, by the way, I'm just cleansing you, because that would defeat the whole purpose. Hashem wants it to be difficult so that it will be a punishment. It's not a punishment if you know. Some learn that was the idea. It says that Yaakov wanted to reveal the Kates, the end, to his children, and Hashem didn't allow it. Many commentaries learn that means Yaakov wanted to give them information, not just tell them the date of the redemption. He wanted to explain to them the whole purpose of it and how it's really a kindness and it's a good thing that they'll be enslaved in Egypt. And Hashem said that would defeat the whole purpose. I want them to suffer, because the purpose requires them to suffer. If you give them all this good information, they're not going to suffer, and because they're going to know it's all for good. And I'm sorry, I'm not gonna tell you anything. So Rav Sadia Gaon, he gets that all from the fact that Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah said Hashem could save us. They had no assurance Hashem would save them. Yeah.
On that, so the idea is to. It seems like the idea really is not the test itself, but to make a gap between what we know and what will happen, which is maybe a test, but maybe it's more of a training of faith.
Well, what he's saying is that's what makes it a test. The fact that you don't know, you don't know the meaning of it,
right.
And you don't know, you can't see how it's all going for you. The purpose of the purpose of the suffering, purpose of suffering is to cleanse us. is to cleanse us in this world, to bring us to Olam Hava. Okay. But if it weren't a test, it wouldn't be cleansing. If we could see the good in everything, we believe everything's good. But if we could actually see the good in everything, it would not be a test.
It's cleansing, not a faith building exercise.
They could go together, but yes, I sense you're right. Yeah. So and now I see it's the Rav Sadia Gaon who says that Nebuchadnezzar is a word for king. Okay, and it's Rashi who says the other interpretation, that if you act the way a king acts, you impose taxes on us or do other things, then you're the king. And if you persist in this ridiculous demand, then then you're just Nebuchadnezzar. We don't acknowledge you as a king. That's how Rashi learns. Okay. So, Pasuk Yud Chet. V'hein lo yadia lehevi lach malka yile lahach lo itana palchin. Do you not know that we do not worship your God? And we will not bow down to your idol. Notice that one is in present tense and one is in future tense. Okay. They're two different things. We do not presently worship your God, and we will not bow down to your idol. So then Nebuchadnezzar was filled with anger, and the color of the appearance of his face changed because of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah. Anev Amar Lemeze Latuna Chad Shiva Al Chaze Lemeze. He said to build up the fire seven times what it was. Leguvrin Givori Chayel Di Bechayle Amar Le Kapata Le Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And to strong men in his army, he said to tie up Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah. Lemirme Latun Nure Kidata, to throw them into the fire.
Where's Daniel in this?
Good question. Where's Daniel in this? Excellent question. But I'm not going to answer you now. Vedayin Guvra, according to one understanding of one of the Gemaras we're going to do, the Gemara itself asked that question. And Rasadi go and ask the question, and Barbanel asked the question, and we'll come back to that. Beidayin guvraya ilech kefitu besar belehon pachehon becharbelaton luvusheon remiu legoatu nure yekidva. So then these men, Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah, were tied up in sarbelehon pachehon and karbelaton or luvusheon are types of fine clothing that officers of the king wear, and the Gemara will make a point about that, that they're thrown into the fire wearing their fine garments. You might have thought that they would have said that they would have gone into fasting and sackcloth and ashes and that kind of stuff, and they didn't. And the Gemara will talk about that. Sorry?
Was there any time?
Everybody. Okay. Interesting question. Let's hold that. Forget to tomorrow. My first inclination would be to say every person who's being killed gets a last wish. They needed time to build up the fire seven times. So maybe their last wish would have been, let's change into morning clothes. Okay. I hear. Okay. We'll hold that question for when we get to Gemara. That'll give me time to find an answer. Okay, I hear you. Okay. Kol kavel dina pasuk chaf bet. Kol kavel dina min di milat maka machat machtzfa batuna eze yatira guvraya ilech tiasikul shadrach meshar v'avi nigo katil himon shviva dinura. So, the people who, the king's order was carried out. The fire was built up. Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah were thrown into the fire, and the people who threw them into the fire were burned by a tongue of fire that came out. The Rashi Gaon says that they were thrown in, they were catapulted into the fire from some distance away, and nevertheless, the people who threw them into the fire were burned, which increased the miracle. The Hanani, Mishael, and Azariah were catapulted into the fire from some distance away, and nevertheless, the people who did it were.
The interpretation is fell. The English here is fell.
That's the literal translation. When you're translating, you obviously cannot take into account all of the interpretations. So typically, when we translate any for Tanakh, we translate it according to Rashi. But Sadia Gaon preceded Rashi and certainly is entitled to have a different interpretation, and he does. Okay. Pasuk Chav Gimel. Beguraya ilech tlatehon shadrach meshach vavi nigo nefalu lego'atu nurei kidata mechafi. And the three people, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, they fell, as the article translates, into the fire, tied up. Mechaftin, mechaptin, tied up. Edayin uchanesar maka teva vekambit vahala ana v'amar lehadavrohi ala guvrin tlata remena lego nura mechaptin anayin v'amrin lemaka yatsiva maka. Then Nebuchadnezzar all of a sudden got scared, and he said to the people around him, weren't those three people thrown into the fire tied up? And the people answered, yes, your majesty. But I see four people not tied up, walking around in the fire. There's no injury on them at all. And the appearance of the fourth one looks like an angel. We're going to come back to this pasuk in the Gemara also. Then the Nebuchadnezzar went close to the opening of the fire. Anev Amar, he spoke up and he said, Shadrach Meshach Avinigo Avdohi di Elaha Ilaya. Puku ve'etu beidayin, puku ve'etu. He said, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, servants of the lofty God, come out. Beidayin nafkin shadrach meshach v'avi negomin go nura. And then Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah walked out of the fire. Midkansi nachashter p'naya, signaya pachavata v'davrei adavrei malka. And these four types of officers, not eight, but four, Chazian the Guvraya Ilech, they saw these people, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, Diloshleit Nura Begeshmehon, that the fire had not touched their body, their bodies. Usare Shehon lo Yitcharach, even the hairs on their heads were not singed. Visarbaleon lo Shino, their clothes had not changed. Vereach Nura lo Adat Behon, they didn't even have a smell of fire on them. Ane Nebuchadnezzar Amar, Brich Elahahon, Yishadrach Meshach Vavin Nego, Yishlach Malachi, V'Shezi Vavdoi, Dihitrechitzu Alohi, Umilat Maka Shaniyo, Vihavu Geshmeon, Dilo Yifluchun, Leiskirun Chola Lahin, Leilahatan. So Nebuchadnezzar spoke up and he said, blessed is the God of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, who sent his angel, that was the fourth person that Nebuchadnezzar saw in the fire. Was angel,
and so we don't still know.
Could, how did he know what an angel looked like? That's a good question. I don't know. I was wondering the same thing. We don't. We what?
There's no indication that this fourth one is Daniel.
It's not. It's not. It's an angel. It's Gavriel. It's the angel Gavriel.
No. Okay. So still one missing.
Daniel's missing. Yes. Well, and we'll talk about that.
Okay. Keep the score.
Right. So he sent his angel and he rescued his servants who Dehitrachitsu Alohi who put their desire in who their trust in him. Umilat Makashaniu, they refused to obey the order of the king and they refused to have their bodies bow down to any god but their god. Umini seem to aim the chol am uma velishan di amar shalu ala lahan di shadrach meshach v'aved nego. And I hereby command that anybody who will speak ill of the god of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah nego hadamim itaved, he will he will be butchered, his blood will be on him. Baitei Nivali and his house will be leveled. Nivali Yishtavei. Kol Kavel Dilo Itai Ela Achran Di Kulat Salakidna. There's no other God who could save in this manner. Bedayin Malka Hatzlach Shadrach Meshach V'Aved Nego V'Naka Bavel. And then the king raised up, gave success to to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah in the land of Babel. And Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah are never heard from again in all of Tanakh. And the Gemara will discuss why. This is the last time they are mentioned. And the Gemara that we will read will talk about where'd they go, what happened to them. Nebuchadnezzar Malka, Pasuk Lamed Aleph. Nebuchadnezzar Malka lechol Amaya Umaya v'lishnaya di Darin v'chol Ara Shlam Chaniske. Nebuchadnezzar sent a message to all of the nations and peoples and languages who live in all of the land. Shlamchan yiske, may your peace be great. Peace unto you. Ataya v'timhaya di'avad imi elaha ilah shvar kadamai lachavaya. I want to tell you the wonders, the signs and the wonders that the lofty God did before me. Atoi kamaravrin, his signs are many. V'timhoi kamatakifin, his wonders are powerful. Machute machut alam shaltene imdor vadar, his kingdom is a kingdom forever, and his rulership goes on for generations. The message that Nebuchadnezzar sent to the people continues in the next perek. We know that the prakim of Tanakh are made up by printers and have no religious significance. We're not going to read the next perek now. However, it happens that there is some significance, according to our Gemara, to where the perek ends, because we learned that after Nebuchadnezzar said this pasuk, that's when he got slapped. He would have gone on, and Mefarshim learn that he would have gone on and elaborated on Hashem's greatness in every generation and would have put Tehillim to shame, and the Malach slapped him to stop him. And so he changes the subject, and his letter continues in the next letter, and he tells about a second dream that he had. If you recall back at the beginning, he told his advisors, I had two dreams, and we've only discussed one of them, and so the other one is discussed in the next parak. It's not relevant to the Gemara that we're going to learn right now, so we're gonna stop there. And tomorrow we will read the Gemara and start putting together the various things that we've learned in this parak, including at some point answering the question, where was Daniel? Have a good day.